This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Emrys, CPA with Parmelis & Associates. I know that I still owe you guys an episode that we are calling Mailbox with your listener questions. However, I saw a post in the shop owners group that I'm a part of the other day, and I was very tempted to respond, but I figured better and maybe more constructive to address it here. The whole issue surrounds the idea, and in this case, a vendor was raising their prices and people feeling that it was getting too expensive. I found it a little bit funny because I would bet my life that most people in that group, I would honestly bet a good bit of money that every single person commenting on there, and I knew specifically some of them was true, that their prices were much more increased than even what they were complaining about here. But sometimes self-reflection and looking in the mirror is a little bit tricky, so that's exactly what we're going to talk about this week. Before we get into that, as always, thank you for being a dedicated listener. Thank you for sharing these episodes with people that you think could benefit. And thank you for the kind words and awesome questions that I get as well. Like I said, that mailbox episode is coming. Just be patient. And lastly, we cannot forget our dedicated sponsors, Napatrax and Promota, for being loyal supporters of the show as well. Support the people that support the industry and support us. And if you need a new shop management software or need to recruit some new team members, make sure to tell them that Hunt sent you and they'll take great care of you, just like they have for tons of other shops and other listeners already. For over 30 years, Napatrax has made selecting the right shop management system easy by offering the best, most comprehensive SMS in the industry. We'll prove to you that Trax is the single best shop management system in the business. Visit them online at napatrax.com. That's NAPATRACS.com. If you're looking for a full-service staffing solution that does everything from sourcing, qualifying, creating job descriptions, scheduling interviews, to negotiating job offers, Promotive is your answer. Visit them online at gopromotive.com. Life is short. Make sure you spend as much time as possible arguing with strangers on the internet. What a quote, and obviously I laughed at this, but anyone that spends any sort of time on social media platforms know that this is a lot of people's favorite pastime. Or show it seems. I also find it a little bit funny because there's a good bit of people, and this is not directed at shop owners, this is my own personal life and people that I know, there's a lot of people that kind of surprise you. Like you meet them in person, they are very quiet, reserved, and online, they are very abrasive personality. I mean, people have very different lives sometimes online and offline, which is fine. It's the beauty of every different shape and size. You're free to say what you want, to a certain degree. Then you also have to remember, should I really be sharing this? The answer is probably no for half of this stuff, but that's also sometimes some of the best humor or the best content that you can ever get. Did you really mean to send this out to the entire world? Anyways, there are so many good resources out there, and even a lot of the most opinionated have enlightening ideas to share, but there seem to be some really taboo things that really get people going. Want to get torched online? Ask about flat rate or hourly pay for your technicians. Share some pictures of your welding in a welding group or even in a shop owners group or anywhere. And for the young parents out there, God forbid you share a picture where your kid is in a car seat, because inevitably someone's going to tell you how wrong you did it and how the belt's not on correctly and how your kid's about to die in a massive car crash or something like that. But it's true. If you're going to put something out there, there's always going to be someone that knows more or will tell you that they know more just about any topic out there. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. The topic of discussion this week didn't really have many differing opinions, and no one shared the opinion that I'm about to now. Again, this is my opinion. You guys tune in to listen to my opinion. You might agree with it. You might think I'm dead wrong, and that's the beauty of life. How boring would it be if we all thought the same, looked the same, acted the same? Also, just like a lot of topics, generally the minority on either ends of the extremes are the loudest. The majority of people that are in the middle just really don't feel strongly enough to step into that hornet's nest. Now to the actual post that started this dumpster fire. And again, names have been removed to protect the innocent, but the short story is a vendor made what a lot of people felt was a massive increase. Some thought that the product was already fairly priced and this was just too much for them, and they made comments that it was time to look for other options. Other people were okay with the price increase, but feared that this was just the beginning of a long history or future of continuing price increases. let's look at this from a couple different angles. And as you can see, when this episode continues on, even better reason of why it's so hard to get your point across a lot of these platforms. These are not simple ideas. There's a lot of faceted angles to this. And if you were to put a well thought out answer, it's probably going to be too long. And the comments back are probably too long. Didn't read that. Don't care. I'm still going to have my same viewpoint. No one ever wins on this. No one ever changes someone's mind. And if you feel that strongly to argue with strangers on the internet, you probably are pretty set in your ways. But the first aspect of this is the idea or quote, you are tripping over dollars to pick up pennies. And so what does that mean? You are tripping over dollars to pick up pennies. The general idea here is it's short-sighted. You're losing the entire idea of what you're trying to do here. So in that idea of you're tripping over dollars to save, is you're like, oh, I need to save money. I need to do this. And so you're trying to make these small inconsequential changes while missing the big picture and missing the larger dollars outside of this. Also, a lot of this is what we call emotional decisions, right? Emotional problem solving there. Because if you were to step back and look at that, why would you ever go and worry about trying to save pennies and ignore the dollars? Doesn't make any sense if you think of it from outsider's perspective or if you really look at the entire big picture. But you're emotional. You're pissed off. You want to make a change. You feel like that it's going to be a knee-jerk reaction, and very few knee-jerk reactions are usually the correct one. Also, another aspect of this is the knee-jerk emotional aspect, and a lot of people ignore how integral some of these things are in your business. Maybe you could make a switch, and maybe that is going to save you some cost on a monthly recurring basis, but is that really the right thing to do? And again, I'm not going to talk about what this vendor is. Some of you guys might actually be able to figure out what it is, but if I say this was due to an argument in a shop owner's Facebook group, that really, fortunately for me, doesn't narrow down the list of topics that much. If you're saying this is too much money, I'm going to switch to something else. What is the cost of switching? What is the financial cost? I mean, some of these different vendors or products and stuff like that have fees to leave or fees to onboard onto something else. And even if they don't have any official cost, it's free for us to sign up. What is going to be the loss of productivity? How much time are you going to have to spend? How much time is your team going to have to spend? All of that stuff has a quantifiable and sometimes decent cost associated with them. Also, is this product truly the same as something else you're leaving? Are you going to have a loss in productivity? Are you going to have a loss in morale? Are you going to have a loss in external morale? Is this going to piss off customers? Is this something that the customers really appreciated and one of the reasons that you've created the successful business that you have? Now, to give you an example of this stuff, and for the record, this was not a credit card company, but I'm using a credit card company as an example because I have seen this. And again, to say that I don't care about prices is not true. I'm not saying that you should be frivolous with your money. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be diligent, making sure that you're not getting billed unfairly on here. But materiality is a real thing, and a lot of people lose sight of that. What does materiality mean? Do you care if your inventory is wrong? You're going to say, yeah, of course I do, hon. But if you're $5 off or if you're $50,000 off, both of those mean your inventory is wrong. Why would you not care about being $5 off, but you would care about being $50,000 off? There's your example of materiality. Is it a material difference that I can actually care about or I should care about? Let's talk about a credit card company, because I see this tossed around a lot too, and you could probably use the same argument for a credit card company as well. But rate on the current company is 2.5%, and you went out and you shopped a new vendor, and they're going to be at 2.3%. Now, specifically, and we've talked about credit cards before and credit card fees, anyone that tells you you're going to come onto my platform and here's what your rate's going to be is just giving you a guess. There is some people out there that do have simplistic pricing like that or flat pricing on it. Generally, they are not the cheapest. What most credit card companies do is they have different rates depending on what the actual card company is. American Express might be one rate, MasterCard, Discover, Visa debit, all kinds of different things. And then it all gets grouped together in a blended rate. So to compare apples to apples on this is really hard. And generally, most people only realize that this fact that they might have been misled a little bit by a salesperson when they actually sign up with the new people and they're like, wait, I was supposed to be saving money. I'm actually spending more. You call the credit card company back up. You made me switch. You said it was going to be cheaper. And they'll give you some lip service like, well, we didn't factor how much Amex you're going to do or seen this time and time again. Some aspect of this is, are you really going to save any money? It looks like you are on surface, but when it actually comes down to reality, is that actually going to happen? Let's assume that in this situation, you are going to save money. So you're going to go from 2.5%. This new person is going to get you down to 2.3%.
So you jump. Credit card processing, it's a commodity. Why do I care? Let's take a look at this and see if you should care, meaning should you care enough to even switch? And if you should, what is that level? What is the cost of changing hardware? If you're going to go from one credit card company to another, almost always you're going to have to change some sort of hardware. Now, is there going to be a cost for that? Maybe not, because some of these credit cards, they give you a new box. A lot of times they only give you a certain amount. If you want to add on different things, if you want to customize it so that it works with your system that you have now, there's probably going to be cost. Even if there's not a physical cost of this stuff, how much are you going to have to pay your team to implement this? You might be able to put your time as free, but I guarantee you that your team members' time is not free. You're paying them to implement this, to train, to figure out how to do this, to maybe screw up a couple times because it's different than how you did on your last one. Again, there is cost here. Also, inconveniences for customers. Your old credit card processor allowed you to do text to pay. Customers loved it. It was easier. It was easier for them to do business with you. But you did not like that rate, so you said, you know what, guys, I'm getting rid of you. I'm going to go back to this old school one where it's got the yellow and white paper on it, where you sign through, you get a copy. True old school. Customers hate it. What are these guys doing? Seems like we're going back in time. I'm not sure if these are the people I want to deal with. And just to save 0.2%, you lost a customer. Again, an extreme, but it could happen. What about if you say these people are cheaper, but their customer service freaking sucks? Again, there is a cost to that. Your old one, if you had a chargeback, they would work with you. They would guide you through the process. They would give you tips on how to set this up and battle with you on your behalf. These new people are cheaper, so they say, we don't have real-time customer service. You can't call us. All you can do is email us, and we might get back to you. We might not. But you save $1,600. Hunt, where does the $1,600 come from? Let's say you're doing $1 million a year, and I just did 80% credit card sales. Maybe you do 90%, maybe you do 100%. But if you do $1 million in sales, $800,000 in credit card charges, if you went from 2.5% to 2.3%, you're going to save a whopping $1,600 a year. That is 10 hours of labor if you're at $150 an hour for the entire year. This is the material. It's just not that much money. And you can see here, if I'm going to be saving $16,000, $30,000 or something like that, some of these other things might be inconsequential. If I'm saving $30,000 a year by switching credit card companies, but yeah, I do have to change, you know, my hardware, who cares? Because the cost of what I'm saving is nothing close to what the cost of the increase in hardware cost on this. And even a massive change here, even a massive change from 3% to 2% only equates about $600 a month for that same shop, or about 4 hours of labor if you bill at $150 each month in savings. Again, the argument there is if you spend all of your time and energy instead of obsessing comparing all these credit card companies to maybe boost productivity a little bit, you don't have to change absolutely anything and you'll probably end up making more money. Now, the reason why I use credit card as an example is not only because it illustrates this good idea of tripping over dollars to pick up pennies and being short-sighted and emotional, but also to give you an example for credit cards alone. Even a massive change like that, going from 3% and you're going to cut your rate down to 2%, really probably doesn't save you as much as you might think. Yeah, our entire life is credit cards on this, but even at 3%, it's still a pretty low fee. So it's going to take a pretty big change to really have a number that you're super concerned about. Lastly, I'm not going to get into credit cards too much. We've done a whole episodes on this. I have not really seen consistently that there are ones that are drastically cheaper or drastically more expensive. Honestly, I've seen it all over the board. Most people seem to be in the same neck of the woods. The only time that I really see major differences on the high side or low side generally has to do with what types of payments that they're collecting. The only time I see people that have really cheap credit card processing stuff, they probably don't take all cards and they've cherry picked ones that take the lower fee on it. But yeah, there's something, like I said, don't be stupid with your money. Don't spend it with whoever you want on it with no consideration of cost. But realistically, is this the best use of your time? Probably not. Next thing on here is price elasticity. So what is price elasticity? Price elasticity essentially means how much is my decision on buying this product or not going to change based on how much that price changes. And again, to illustrate price elasticity, I'm going to use an example, and this is a commonly used one, and it's insulin versus ice cream. Insulin and ice cream are on both ends of the elasticity spectrum, one of these being very inelastic and one of these being very elastic. Think about elastic like a rubber band. How much can you stretch this? Insulin is what you would consider very inelastic. It is not very flexible here. Why? It's life or death. If insulin costs $5, I'm going to buy it because I have diabetes, and if I don't take it, I'm going to die. I'm going to lose a foot, whatever. I'm not going to be very happy. If it's $500, you know what? I am still going to buy this. And a lot of people that are diabetic and on this have seen this exact thing. Now, I believe I'm not diabetic, so I don't know this for certain, but I think that those prices have come back under control. But there was a lot of pushback on this. How could you do this? You knew that we don't have a choice on this, and you're just raising our prices because we have no other options. Now, when you have something like this, the government generally does get involved. Even in situations like with gasoline, you are not allowed to jack up your prices if there's a natural disaster. Now, for some reason, I've seen this time and time again. It generally always happens, but you're not supposed to. And what I mean by that is this. So let's say that maybe you're down in Florida. The west coast of Florida got hit really bad with hurricanes. Everything is wiped out, but your gas station is still there. It is illegal for you to raise the price of gas from $4 to $14 because you know that people have no choice. Now, you're right. It is very inelastic. If you want to leave here, you're going to have to buy gas and you're going to have to buy it from me. But the government kind of steps in and says, that is not how this is supposed to work. That is not free market. There's no competition here. And like we've seen time and time again, the government likes to see competition to a certain degree, or if you fund enough to the right political party, they can probably help you out on the other side as well. Let's face it, your shop management system is the single most important tool in your shop, period. You need NapaTrax because it integrates with all the major players, including Napa ProLink, PartsTech, OE RepairLink, Epicor, TireConnect, Mitchell 1 ProDemand, and more. NapaTrax has leading-edge tools and technology that your shop needs right now. Unlike the other guys, we'll be there after your installation with the best training and support in the business. Your training includes a learning management system that is tailored to each role in your company. Simply put, Trax was designed and built for shop owners just like you. It all starts when a local representative meets with you to learn about your business to help optimize your shop's workflow, efficiency, and profitability. For over 30 years, NapaTrax has made selecting the right shop management system easy by offering the best, most comprehensive SMS in the industry. After all, it's your shop, so it's your choice. Visit us on the web at napatrax.com. That's NapaTrax.com. Shop owners, are you struggling to find and retain top-tier talent for your automotive shop? Introducing Promotive on the web at gopromotive.com. With over 40 years of combined industry and recruiting experience, we're the ultimate staffing solution. We go beyond traditional agencies. Our team provides dedicated recruiters and account managers advising on processes, compensation, and benefits. We focus on placing technicians and service advisors with shops that offer the best culture, training, and long-term growth opportunities. Trust our experience to match the right talent to your shop. We carefully select shops that value employee excellence and provide an environment for success. Our dedicated team leads the entire process, leveraging our industry knowledge and expertise. Partner with Promotive and experience their advantage to help you build a high-performing team that drives your shop's growth. Visit gopromotive.com today and let us help find and keep the best talent in the industry. Now, to go back to something that is very elastic, meaning that this is very dependent on the price, you usually go and look at luxury goods and a lot of times luxury food and stuff like that. And ice cream is a great example because if you went out and you were saying, all right, I'm going to go and I'm going to take the family out and I'm going to get some ice cream cones. If ice cream cone, I don't know, what's it cost now? $4 or $5, something like that. You go to a decent ice cream shop, $4 or $5. Okay, I'm going to get that. Now, how many times would you take your family out if a ice cream cone was $50? Would you ever eat ice cream again? There's probably a lot of people out there that would say, if you're going to charge me $50 for a cone of ice cream, I'm just never going to eat ice cream again. It is good. It's just not that good. But what happens is you will probably buy it, but it's going to be a lot more infrequent. Take a look at something like lobster. Lobster is what a lot of people think of a very expensive food item, unless you live in New England, right? If you're in Maine, you're like, man, we're getting this for free. But lobster is not something people eat every single day of the week. It's expensive. So it's a treat. It's a luxury thing that you get infrequently throughout the year. Ice cream is the same way. If you want to increase your prices 400% for insulin, I don't have a choice. I'm still going to buy it. If you increase your prices 400% for ice cream, I'm just not going to buy it. I don't need it that much. I'm not going to die from eating ice cream or the lack thereof. Now, for a shop, you have these same ideas too, you know, with the vendors that you deal with. Let's look at QuickBooks versus employee benefits. You know, QuickBooks, who is owned by Intuit, and this one kind of hits close home to me because I think that they're almost getting to a point where the government needs to get involved. And I very rarely say that. Generally, I am on the opposite side of the spectrum. The only thing that can usually make any situation worse is when the government gets involved in it. But QuickBooks and Intuit are in a very unique spot that most people or most companies are never allowed to be in. So QuickBooks, who's owned by Intuit, has like 99% market share for accounting for small businesses. Is there other options out there? Yeah, I mean, there's Xero, there's FreshBooks, there's Sage, Peachtree. Are any of them as good? No, not even close. Like QuickBooks has the market cornered completely on it. I get people that call me up all the time. I don't like QuickBooks. I want something else. What are my options? And I tell them, there is other options. Is there other good options? And especially if you weigh in cost, no. Every single integration you see out there is going to be set up for QuickBooks. You can go to something else if you don't like integrations on this. Or there is also some upgrades from QuickBooks. If you say, you know what? I've outgrown QuickBooks. I want to go to Oracle NetSuite, which is an enterprise level software. I say, that's cool. And it is a much better product. Much better. That is a professional, full-blown accounting software that you're going to see on many large and even in some aspects, probably publicly traded companies. How much do you dislike QuickBooks is always what I say to them. And they say, why? Because QuickBooks, even if you're going to be paying a good bit of money, is still free to set up. It's an off-the-shelf solution. I want QuickBooks. I can click buy. I can start entering my financials immediately. NetSuite is not free to set up. You're going to have to pay someone to set it up. And I've seen prices on this. Again, never seen a shop do this. These are for other businesses. I think the starting price is usually around 10 to 20 grand just to get this set up for your business before you do anything. Most of you guys listening will not even pay Intuit for the entire life of your career that much money. For QuickBooks, it is very expensive to get Oracle. Another thing on it is Oracle or NetSuite by Oracle costs about $2,000 a month per user going forward. Usually when people say, I'm going to check out NetSuite, I say, go for it. But I wouldn't look at it too far until you check out their prices. QuickBooks has got us right where they want them. And we've all seen this. They've increased their prices. They've changed how they do wholesale rates. They add services. They remove it because they know that you are not very price elastic on this. If we're cost $70 a month now for QuickBooks and we go to 100, you might complain, you might whine, you might hate us. You're still going to probably be there. Now, on the other side of things for a shop, you got something like employee benefits, which is pretty elastic because a lot of this does depend on price. You want to go offer your team health insurance? Yeah, of course I do, Hunt. I love it and I do right now. And are you elastic on it? Inelastic? No, I want to do it no matter what. You probably don't. You can go out there and you can get all of your team health insurance and the average cost per team member is going to be about $500 a month. Great, Hunt. I'm going to do it. What about if it's going to be $600 a month? Yeah, I'm still going to do it, Hunt. What about if it's going to be $1,500 a month per employee? You know what? I'm probably not going to do that. Well, why? Do you not like your team? No, at some level, I'm just not going to be able to afford it. I'm a smaller shop. I don't make that much money. I physically cannot afford to pay that much in benefits out there. And even if you look at benefits as a whole, maybe it's not if I give you health insurance or not, but what level or what suite of services we have. Depending on the price, I might have disability, vision, dental, all kinds of stuff out there. But if it gets super expensive, maybe we cut out vision, maybe we cut out dental, maybe we cut out the disability or something like that. All of these things kind of are on a scale of how much or how willing you're going to change and how much of that depends on price increases as well. The big thing on here specifically for businesses or shops specifically is the more ingrained that the product is in your business, the lower the chance is that you will leave that vendor due to rising prices. Most vendors out there do not leverage that. They know we have you, but we appreciate you and we're not going to gouge you because we got you right where we want you. Intuit obviously feels a little bit different, but most people serving this industry truly do not feel that way. Another thing is elasticity of choices. You have choices, but are they actually true replacements or differing levels of service? I'm going to leave this vendor. They're too much. I'm going to go somewhere else. Are you actually getting the same thing or are you getting something at a lower price because it's a lower quality? Look at car insurance. Unfortunately for most people are probably fortunately, actually, car insurance is required in most every single state. Elasticity of choices means, you know what? I'm going to to have car insurance no matter what, because if not, I could get pulled over, I could go to jail. But I do have options on choices. What, money's tight, this car is a piece of junk, and I just can't afford anything more, maybe I'm just going to get liability, the lowest level of coverage that I'm legally required to have. But if God forbid something happens and I'm at fault, I'm not going to have full coverage to replace my vehicle. At least it'll be covered for someone else. Maybe full coverage becomes much cheaper and you decide to get it, and so you're going to move to that aspect. Yeah, you have choices here, but the idea of having insurance is not elastic at all. You need to have it. The only thing that you're comparing there is differing levels of service. If I'm looking at Geico and it's $200 a month, but it's only liability, is comparing it to State Farm with full coverage at $400 a month really a comparison? Not at all. They're both called insurance, but they are completely different things in every way, shape, and form. Lastly on this, like I said earlier on this, really one of the first comments, is I feel like that a lot of people need to take a look in the mirror at their own business. You're probably more guilty of this than most vendors that you deal with. This vendor had not raised their prices at all, and I think the last price increase that they had on this was 2019. What have your prices done between 2019 and today? If you say that they have not increased for your customers, then A, I'm pretty sure you are wrong, or B, I really hope that you are wrong. And we'll get into that here in a second. If you just look at inflation, meaning the numbers from our government, when they look at the bill of goods and they're saying, this is how much inflation, this is how much costs have been going up, or this is how much less a dollar goes with the time value of money, we will see that overall compound inflation from 2019 to today, 5-year period, is around 30% for everything. That's food, energy, travel, insurance, you name it. That is everything in our life has went up roughly around 30%. And I've said before, and I'll say this again, that number is lower than the true figure. I don't care who you are. There is no way that anyone here can argue that is higher than what really happened. Most people in your day-to-day life, it's much more than that. And in some sectors, 2, 3, 4 times that number easily. When you say, huh, what do you mean by that? Well, I was looking through these figures on this, and according to the numbers that they're reporting out there, grocery prices had only went up around 13% since 2019 to today. Which I actually laughed out loud on that one, because I feel like that's probably one of the things that has gone up a good bit and something that no one has a choice on. If, like I said before, ice cream had went up 100%, you don't have to choose to be part of that market. Just don't eat ice cream anymore. Times are tough. We're no longer an ice cream family. What are you going to say? Times are tough. We're no longer a grocery family. Yeah, everyone's got to eat. And personally, if I'm looking at this stuff, I got 3 little kids. We don't eat fancy stuff. I would argue that prices on groceries have probably went up 50%. I've been to the store and spent $700-$800 before. And think about it. It's hard to get more stuff. Only so much can fit in a freaking shopping cart. And spending $700, $750 for one trip to the grocery store, it's crazy. Anyways, let's look at your business. You probably don't own a grocery store, but you're probably equally as guilty, not quite as guilty. We'll see it here in a second. So for your business, you sell 2 things. You sell parts and you sell labor, and you put them together and you sell that to a customer. So let's start with parts. And for those of you in the, I haven't changed my prices since Clinton was in office group, remember, when I just said you're probably wrong, parts is the reason why I know that you are wrong. You mark up parts and you sell parts based on cost. Whether you have a 30% markup, 80% markup, 300% markup, whatever it is, if the cost goes up, so does your price and also profit to a large extent as well. Think of the cost of a brake pad in 2019 and compare that to that same part today. Think of the cost of oil or Freon in 2019 versus today. I don't think that there is a single person that would argue that it hasn't went up, and most would argue that these have probably went up a lot more than 30% over the 5-year period. Some components, in fact, are up triple digits, and that's not an opinion. That is fact. I looked at this stuff. It's actually very hard. I didn't want to give you wrong numbers. If I'm going to give you a number, it's going to be real. With people like changing and superseding part numbers and stuff like that, it was hard for me to find the exact same part on this. I mean, I've seen it personally on like my own vehicles or just parts I bought for my car and stuff like this. But again, don't get lost in this. I don't think that anyone's going to argue this aspect. That is really not that contentious of a topic. Everyone knows about this, whether it's the increase in shipping costs from overseas, the lack thereof, supply, demand, you name it. Parts costs have went up. And to a certain extent, much, much more than this 30% number. Again, you might be thinking to yourself, hun, I don't mark up my parts. It's just labor on this. And this is one that you do more or less have complete control of. And there is a chance that you have not increased your labor rate over this 5-year period. But again, I really hope that you have. And if not, I really hope that you're about to. What was your labor rate in 2019? What is your labor rate today? Again, I imagine is probably up over 30% and probably a little bit more, especially if you start to add in, did you use to matrix? Do you matrix now? How much do you add on to book time? Are you using the same book? Are you using a higher book rate, fees, other adds on, etc.? So I did look at this one. This is a little bit easier to compare than parts on this because an hour of labor today was still an hour of labor in 2019. So that part is constant on this. And I took a look at, 12, 15 different clients on this and trying to get ones. I had some where I knew that they had really gone up. I didn't want something where they had changed their business model, that they had went from fleet work to retail, that they had increased their facilities. I wanted just true regular shop, consistent on numbers, consistent on team members, type of vehicles and stuff like that. I looked and like I said, it was about 12 or 15 of these shops, the lowest on there. And this one was actually an outsider. I picked this one specifically because I would say this is probably the most conservative person as far as increasing prices. And he increases prices an average of 23% from that period, 2019 to 2024. Getting a little bit tricky to have this stuff because how do you compare the same box of goods? I'm not going to tell you how I did it, but more or less you take a look at the average for a certain period. In this case, what I did was look at January 2019 compared to January 2024. And that's where you got to 23%. There's a good chance that he had actually increased his prices much higher than that. And he had a couple low margin jobs in 24, which brought that average down. And when I looked at the rest of this group, I probably am leaning more towards that than this person had only increased his prices 23%. The highest of these 12 or 15 shops I looked at was 55%. That's a pretty massive increase from 23% to 55%. But honestly, the other 12 or 13 shops in there were much closer to 55% increase than the 23. I don't think that there was a single other shop that was actually below a 35% increase on there. Most people were in the low mid 40s and even a handful of other ones in a low 50% range. So to wrap all of this up, maybe you don't believe in increasing your prices. Maybe you're okay with making less money and less profit every year because there's no denying that your operating costs have increased. And if you truly haven't, again, I don't believe you. And if you truly haven't and you are telling the truth, you are one of the only ones out there. And not just businesses, you are one of the only shops out there. Unfortunately or fortunately for you and I, the government tracks this information. They track the average cost of vehicle repairs. And over this period, if you take a look at 2019 to 2024, the average price of auto repair costs has grown nearly 45%, 44.95% if you want the exact figure. What that is saying is if you came in and you got a service done in 2019 and you came and got that same service done in 2024, the average of the entire nation of every single auto repair shop out there, big, small, specialty, non-specialty, was 44.95%. I think that is really powerful. And again, I went even in more granular detail and I looked at specific jobs. I think it was brakes and there was one other one that was a little bit bigger on there. But I was trying to find like a can jobs, which is really comparable. And I found a couple that were around this. Most of the stuff I was looking at were even higher than this 44.95%. The reason why the average didn't go up for a lot of them is people's like oil change or some of these inspections and stuff has actually stayed pretty similar, which is pulling the average down. But for these larger maintenance jobs that are more or less common on this, like AC service, flushes, stuff like that, 44 or 45% seem to be, again, on the lower side of things. But what all this means is that statistically, as an average, the shop owners that were arguing that this vendor had, quote unquote, taken advantage of them, was, quote unquote, gouging or pricing people out of their product, had not even increased their prices as much as some of these very same people typing these comments. But Hunt, my costs have went up. My parts cost more. My taxes are higher. My insurance is through the roof and I'm paying 50% more for payroll than I did before in my shop. This is why I increased my prices. You're exactly right. And you have just proved my point. So are these vendors' costs. Do you think that they don't have increasing labor costs? Absolutely. And arguably, a lot of them have had much more of an increase because of the substantial amount of their actual cost is just labor. They're not selling a tangible physical product, and so they need labor in order to deliver this service or whatever it might be. So the question really isn't why have they increased their costs, but why am I surprised that they have increased their costs? So the question really isn't why have they increased their costs, but why am I surprised that they have increased their costs? And the answer is you shouldn't be. And if you were to answer honestly, you can probably easily justify the reason that they did, just as you have for your own business. Please share with friends. And if you have any questions, comments, or ideas for a future episode, please shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Thanks for listening on the Aftermarket Radio Network. You can find all shows on the aftermarketradionetwork.com and on your favorite podcast listening app. Thanks again for joining me on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I will talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Hunt on your favorite podcast listening app. Let him know what you'd like him to cover. His email is in the show notes. Hunt is all for advancing the aftermarket.